Former four-term U.S. Congressman, gubernatorial candidate, and chairman of the Leadership America Needs PAC, Lee Zeldin. Ladies and gentlemen, nice enough to give us a couple of minutes here on a Tuesday morning. So great having you. You know, we just had a guest that said we need Lee Zeldin for governor. And, you know, the overall premise is we lack such leadership in this Capitol. It is not to be believed with all that is going on out there. I got to tell you, welcome aboard. Hate to start off on that note, but quite frankly, we got nothing in Albany these days, my friend.
Yeah, I mean, it's been this direction now for a few years. It continues to only get worse. There's a lack of balance. It's one-party rule, supermajority, Dem Assembly and Senate, and a lack of accountability in so many different respects, a lack of focus. And I mean, I think that a lot of New Yorkers who don't live inside of, you know, the bluest county or counties in the state feel like this is a government that doesn't represent them. And it's a big state, and it's not just Manhattan. It's not just, you know, the Bronx or Brooklyn and Queens. I mean, we won Suffolk by, gosh, I don't know, maybe about 17 points. So I have to go back and check. You know, Nassau was double digits. I mean, look around parts of upstate where, you know, we won by, you know, 20, 30 plus points. A lot of the people who live in these communities don't feel represented. And that's a challenge when, you know, you're a Democrat in, you know, in a state like New York. You can't just always be pandering to just, you know, your activist base. And in a moment like this, when people are concerned about crime, they're upset about the implementation of congestion pricing, they want to support law enforcement, they want to crack down on illegal immigrants and stop sanctuary city and state policies. The priorities that are being demanded by New Yorkers are, you know, are very reasonable. This is a common sense position that I would say the independent-minded New Yorker is agreeing with those people on the right.
No doubt about it. Let me ask you a question. If you were the governor right now, okay, and you see what's going on at Columbia, the taking over of a building, an anti-Israel Columbia activist smashing windows, hanging these Intifada banners all over the place here, I mean, would you take it upon yourself to call the National Guard at this point? I mean, I would. That's me.
Oh, yeah.
What about you?
Absolutely. I would have done it by now. And you know, yesterday, Columbia said to these people who are out there on their campus that they had until 2 p.m., and the 2 p.m. time came and went. How about the governor of New York tells the administration at Columbia that the administration has until 2 o'clock, yeah, you know, to get their campus under control, or you know, they have 24 hours, whatever, you know, whatever it is. I mean, it should have been done already. And when that comes and goes, then the government has to step in because of all these additional crimes that are being committed, because of the civil rights violations that are taking place. Columbia University administration has lost control of their campus. And you know, what's interesting about it is there are people who are saying that the administration at Columbia University, that the president needs to resign because of how, you know, control has been lost. What's really interesting when you think about the dynamic of where the students are and the faculty is and the rest of the administration is in support of these people who have the encampments and are taking over buildings or whatnot. The university president's probably calculating that the job is more at risk if this is shut down. So, you know, this administration right now, Columbia University, is part of the problem. So I agree with you. I would have called in the National Guard by now. And you can't allow this to continue to fester. And for politics, for domestic politics, you're seeing the governors, presidents, you know, like the president of the United States, the presidential campaign. They're trying to figure out how to change the subject. They want to not have to deal with this. They want to make believe like it's not even happening. Then why the heck are you stepping up to run for these positions in the first place if you only want it easy? You should be looking at moments like this and saying, this is exactly why Iran was to lead, because I believe when the rubber hits the road and the moment is it's tough and it calls for people with skill to work through a challenge like this, you should feel it as a calling as opposed to seeing this as something that should motivate you to run in the opposite direction. That courage doesn't belong in elected government.
Not only that, she deploys the National Guard into the subways. And that, by the way, is because of her stance over and over, as well as some of her colleagues regarding police departments in general, most specifically the NYPD and the slashing of budget and everything else. Not enough cops to go around. She'll take those National Guard members, put them in subways, but right now she doesn't see this to be dire enough at Columbia to send the... I mean, it just makes absolutely no sense. I mean, really. Absolutely no sense.
I mean, listen, there are decisions to be made instinctively by good leaders. They just know what is right, and they do it. And that is not something that anybody will ever accuse Kathy Hochul of being capable of, to instinctively know what the right answer is here. If she knew instinctively, she would be leading. If President Biden knew instinctively what to do right now at this moment, he would be leading. But instead, what it would take is to go weeks. You know, a lot of time would have to go by, and there would have to be so many different meetings and polling that gets done, political consultants providing their advice. And the ultimate motivator ends up being, at the end of the day, time and again, with people like Kathy Hochul, is that there needs to be a meeting with a political team where they say, if you don't do it, this is how our party will suffer politically because of it. You have no choice but to do it. But the thing is, right now, the Democratic Party is suffering from the opposite calculation after the Democratic primary in Michigan, with this big uncommitted vote, which has spread to other parts of the country. They need to win these swing states. And they feel like they have this bleeding going on in their activist base that they have to stop. But I believe that by their pandering to these people who, as we saw with video overnight, are, you know, breaking down windows and occupying buildings at Columbia University and spreading this type of hate to other parts of the state and the country, this isn't going to go away. And your effort to pander to try to stop the bleeding towards them is only causing you to have more bleeding on the opposite side, because a whole lot of other normal people are pissed, saying, where the heck is my government? Why do I pay taxes? And a lot of people who actually voted, maybe they voted for Joe Biden, maybe they voted for Kathy Hochul, they're saying, what the heck did I vote for you? Why did I vote for you if you're not going to lead in a moment like this? How disappointing is it? Because I thought that in a moment like this that you would have the courage and capability and talent to lead rather than running away scared. So, I mean, I think that's where the action ends up resulting, not from instinct, but from them deciding at some point, which apparently isn't yet today, that they're going to suffer politically if they don't actually lead and do their job.
It has to be, and the only way to do it is November 5th, make change without question. You mentioned a key word, pander. That's all that this is about. It's about a pander. It's about a pander from the top, the state, local levels. That's what happens here. And I'll tell you this much. Pander to me equates to something yesterday that I found out that is under the radar. It's not being talked about enough. This Proposition 1 that the folks will see on the ballot come November the 5th regarding ERA, E-R-A, ladies and gentlemen. That's right. It's an amendment, a constitutional amendment to be voted on by New Yorkers, statewide ballot, Prop 1. I'll tell you. You know, amending Section 11 of Article 1 of the Constitution, this is an absolute disgrace, what people have to hear about. And I figure with you coming on today, you can explain it. But, man, this is where the center of thought is right now as far as leadership. It's beyond despicable.
Yeah, listen, this is on the ballot for all New Yorkers statewide who show up to vote this November. And it's important that we all show up and vote no. Why? Because if you oppose biological boys competing in girls' sports, you have to show up and vote no. If you care about parental rights, you have to show up and vote no. If you're opposed to the possibility of providing gender transition drugs and surgeries, even without parental consent, you have to vote no. If you don't want to provide even more rights to people who are illegally in this country, you have to show up and vote no. I mean, the reality here in a moment like this is that instead of just listening to talking points from Democrats about what, you know, something like this is, because they're trying to make believe like they're putting an amendment up that's all about abortion. In New York, they've already codified abortion until the end of the ninth month. I would encourage people to do something really simple and easy. Just read the amendment. What it's proposing to change is talking about adding, as you point out, Section 11 of Article 1 of the New York State Constitution, expanding the definition of equal rights, including things like sexual orientation, gender identity, gender expression, and much more. So, when anyone tries to tell you that, don't worry about it, you don't have to read it, trust me, we're just putting an amendment on that's about abortion, just read the text of what they're proposing, because what ends up happening as a consequence is that you're providing a constitutional amendment, a constitutional right that will erode parental rights in the state, that will, in a court like New York, for example, where Democrats try to, they actually passed a new law in New York City to allow non-citizens the right to vote. The Democrats are appealing it to the New York State Court of Appeals. No. The Democrats just changed the New York State Court of Appeals. They had some judge leave. They appointed a new judge to change the balance of power on the court. And now the Democrats are appealing to this New York State Court of Appeals that law to allow non-citizens the right to vote. Now, one of the things that included in this new definition is national origin. Well, now I would make the argument that we shouldn't be providing equal rights to anyone illegally in the country, but will this new Democrat court that was created, the highest level of the New York State government, the New York State Court of Appeals, the highest court in the judicial branch, if they decide that this is a constitutional amendment that's providing equal rights to people who are in this country illegally, if that interpretation it plays into a decision of whether or not to allow non-citizens to vote, well, this is a question that people have right now in the state because of the activism inside the judicial branch. What makes sense, you read something that's in the law, you read some cases and case precedent, and you think that determines what will happen next inside of a judicial branch. The reality is that when you have activists on the bench, like we see right now, precedent doesn't matter. We saw that with the redistricting case. The Court of Appeals of New York threw out New York's house maps, and then they changed the composition of the court to forget about their own precedent and come up with a completely different decision. So that's the concern here. I encourage people to actually read the amendment for themselves. I encourage them to vote no, get familiar with it, and understand that even what makes sense of how something should be applied inside the judicial branch, understand that inside of this judicial branch right now in New York State, they might interpret it totally different because these are activists who are right now at the state's highest court, the majority, rather than folks who are strictly interpreting constitution and law.
And let me just say this, and if it's certainly the evidence of it as far as the lack of common sense, let's put it that way, regarding the Harvey Weinstein stuff and how Rowan Wilson conducted himself. I mean, you talk about to get a qualified Court of Appeals nominee in that a moderate Democrat back in the day, Hector LaSalle. Instead, you get individuals like this Brad Hoylman Siegel, right? And the Senate Dems just packing the Judiciary Committee with additional members contrary to the very rules of the Senate. and unconstitutionally blocking Judge LaSalle's nomination from advancing to the floor. And just an absolute disgrace, and certainly with what you just spoke about is what's wrong with Albany and that of Rowan Wilson in that selection. Just an absolute disgrace. Listen, I could talk to you all morning long. Can't thank you enough. We'll have you back on soon. I know you got some deadlines and stuff, but so much to discuss, and I thank you for a couple of minutes at least.
You got it. Take care, Jay.